Well, when your best mate's got an arrow in his eye and there's blokes and horses screaming all around you and you're scared shit, well, you're really scared, and you come across one of the enemy, well, for some reason or other, you've got this kind of urge to give him a bit of a nudge sort of thing. Just, you know, like, maybe in 20 years' time, his leg'll twinge a bit on frosty days and he'll remember what he's done, that's all. He rummaged in a pocket and produced a very small book, which he held up for inspection. "This belonged to my great-granddad," he said. "He was in the scrap we had against Pseudopolis, and my great-grand gave him this book of prayers for soldiers, because you need all the prayers you can get, believe you me. And he stuck it in the top pocket of his jerkin, because he couldn't afford armour. And the next day in battle, whoosh, this arrow came out of nowhere, wham, straight into this book, and it went all the way through to the last page before stopping. Look, you can see the hole."
"Pretty miraculous," Carrot agreed.
"Yeah, it was, I suppose," said the sergeant. He looked ruefully at the battered volume. "Shame about the other 17 arrows, really."
The drumming died away. The remnant of the watch tried to avoid one another's gaze. Then an imperious voice said, "Why aren't you in uniform, young man?"
Nobby turned. He was being addressed by an elderly lady with a certain turkey-like cast of feature and a capital punishment expression.
"Me? Got one, missus," said Nobby, pointing to his battered helmet.
"A proper uniform," snapped the woman, handing him a white feather. "What will you be doing when the Clatchians are ravishing us in our beds?" She glared at the rest of the guards and swept on.
Angua saw several others like her passing along the crowds of spectators. Here and there was a flash of white.
"I'll be thinking, those Clatchians are jolly brave," said Carrot. "I'm afraid, Nobby, that the white feather is to shame you into joining up."
"Oh, that's all right, then," said Nobby, a man for whom shame held no shame. "What am I supposed to do with it?" "That reminds me, did I tell you what I said to Lord Rust?" said Sergeant Colan nervously.
17 times so far," said Angua, watching the women with the feathers. She added, apparently to herself, "Come back with your shield or on it."
"I wonder if I can get the lady to give me any more," said Nobby.
"What was that?" said Carrot.
"These feathers," said Nobby. "They look like real goose. I've got a use for a lot more of these."
"I meant, what was it that Angua said?" said Carrot.
"What? Oh, it's just something women used to say when they sent their men off to war. Come back with your shield or on it."
"On your shield?" said Nobby. "You mean like sledging sort of thing?"
"Like dead," said Angua. "It meant come back a winner or not at all."
"Well, I always came back with my shield," said Nobby. "No problem there."
"Nobby," sighed Colan, "you used to come back with your shield, everyone else's shield, a sack of teeth and 15 pairs of still warm boots on a cart."
"Well, no point in going to war unless you're on the winning side," said Nobby,
sticking the white feather in his helmet.
"Nobby, you was always on the winning side, the reason being you used to lurk around the edges to see who was winning, and then pull the right uniform off of some poor dead sod. I used to hear where the generals kept an eye on what you were wearing so they'd know how the battle was going."
"Lots of soldiers have served in lots of regiments," said Nobby.
"Right, what you say is true, only not usually during the same battle," said Sergeant Colan.
They trooped back into the watch house. Most of the shift had taken the day off. After all, who was in charge? What were they supposed to be doing today? The only ones left were those who never thought of themselves as off-duty and the new recruits who hadn't had their keen edge blunted.
"I'm sure Mr. Vimes'll think of something," said Carrot. "Look, I'd better take the Goriffs back to their shop. Mr. Goriff says he's going to pack up and leave. A lot of Clatchians are leaving. You can't blame them either."
Dreams rising with him like bubbles, Vimes surfaced from the black fathoms of sleep. Normally these days he treasured the moment of waking. It was when solutions presented themselves. He assumed bits of his brain came out at night and worked on the problems of the previous day, handing him the result just as he opened his eyes. All that arrived now were memories. He winced. Another memory turned up. He groaned. The sound of his badge bouncing on the table replayed itself. He swore. He swung his legs off the covers and groped for the bedside table.
"Bingly bingly beep.
Oh, no. All right, what's the time?
1 o'clock p.m. Hello, insert name here."
Vimes looked blearily at the disorganizer. One day he knew he really would have to try to understand the manual for the damn thing, either that or drop it off a cliff